Hi, welcome back to another Nugget of Truth. Before I even go any further, just a reminder that if you go to my website, which is listed just below, pastorvic.com, there are all kinds of free downloadable materials for preaching, for teaching, for just studying the Word of God. And so I make it all available free. Freely I have received, freely I give. God bless you. To start today, I want to perform an experiment with you. I'm going to ask a question, and then for 10 seconds or so, I want you to remember or think about the first thing that comes to your mind. So here we go with the question. When God looks down on you, what do you think He sees? Now, if you thought God sees a failure, shamefulness, unworthiness, that you're no good, that you don't deserve God's love or forgiveness, you are totally wrong. This is not what God sees when He looks upon a person who has accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. What God sees when He looks upon a believer is the blood of Jesus, which cleanses and redeems a son or daughter. You are the beloved child of God and forever in the family of God. You know, one of the great challenges of being a Christian is trying to live a sinless life. A sinless life is a lifelong struggle and at times a very difficult challenge. While a sinless life is impossible to achieve in this life, we should always strive for that goal. Living righteously is a sure path to peace, to abundance, and love in your life. Now, we understand that Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, has erased all of our sins, and we are new creations in him. However, we still deal with temptation and sliding back to our old ways. I heard someone say recently, "We may be done with sin as a Christian, but sin is not done with us." In other words, we still have to deal with temptations and trials and testing of the flesh. Now, we know where they all come from, don't we? They come from the enemy of our soul, Satan. The devil's purpose is to cause us to feel defeated and condemned. And when we feel condemned and defeated, we often pull away from the Lord. And see, that's the devil's strategy. So often we feel so unworthy of God's love and we become ashamed and we spiral into a downward fall that draws us further and further away from the love, forgiveness, and acceptance of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 gives us four essential principles to receive by faith. And if we learn to walk by these four principles, we will indeed be able to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Because He loves me, and at the same time, we need to remember that He's not finished with us. We are works in progress. The first principle is that there is no condemnation, as we said a moment ago, for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It's worth repeating that you have to accept the truth and believe by faith that the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit is your helper to overcome temptation and to break the old unrighteous behaviors and habits. You can't do it without Him. You see, He is your helper and He's also your comforter. When you stumble and fall into sinful behavior, the Holy Spirit will not abandon you because He lives in you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. He will strengthen you, urge you to repent and turn away from that behavior that displeases the Lord. You can't do it alone. You need God's help to overcome unrighteousness and sin in the world. The second principle is that we need to recognize that we have a new position in our relationship with the Lord. He says that we are sons. Now, sonship will be the subject of today's message, so I'm going to skip over that and we'll come back to it in a few minutes. The third principle is that life is a struggle, you know that, is sometimes hard and unfair. However, you are never alone. Whatever you're going through, you are not alone. Jesus promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you, and he is always present in you through his Holy Spirit. The fourth principle is the fact that nothing and no one can separate you from the love that God has for you. The Lord's love is total and absolute. You are unconditionally loved. Now, we're going to take a look at the second principle, what it means that we are viewed or we are seen as sons by the Lord. First, I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, spirit to spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, the seal of the Father is the evidence of our adoption. The evidence of our adoption is the Holy Spirit of God living in us. You see, Christianity is not a religion of rites or tradition and formalities, but is a living relationship with our Lord. The Holy Spirit is the evidence of our sealing by the Lord. Let me share two scriptures with you. The first is 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Some translate it as a down payment. Then the other scripture is Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You see, the Holy Spirit, his Spirit gives evidence to our spirit, and our spirit reflects the evidence that we belong to him. We know we belong to him because his Spirit lives in us. Now, sonship is an important concept in the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul states in clear terms who his faith is in. His faith is not in a church building, it's not in a denomination, or the beliefs of some leader. Instead, Paul's faith is in one person and one person only, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was 1 Corinthians 2:2. And that should be our position as well. Our faith must be in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And Jesus says that we are adopted as sons. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's Ephesians 1:5. And then another verse says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's John 1:12. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, and we are his brothers. The scripture says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, that's us, to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, see, that's the process, are all one. For which reason, he, meaning Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, us, brethren. That's Hebrews 2:10-11. Now, because of our sonship position, we have access to God. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So here's a question to think about. Do you see yourself as a son, or do you see yourself as a stranger in our relationship with the Lord? Remember the question at the beginning? When God looks down on you, what do you think he sees? The Apostle Paul did not define himself by what he did or what he thought, but he defined himself by what God said of him. God said he was a son. And therefore, Paul chose to live as a son. You see, Paul saw himself as a son who had decided to serve his father. Now think about this. Isn't that exactly what Jesus demonstrated for us throughout his life in his obedience to Father God? I want to take a moment to just take a closer look at God's idea. Now this is God's idea, that we are sons. And we're going to look in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. And the scripture says, "For you are all sons of God," speaking to believers, "through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now notice in verse 28, God makes no distinction of position, of gender, of status, or reputation. The only thing that's required is to be in Christ. Notice also that God doesn't distinguish between male or female. That means sonship is not about gender or being a male, but it's about a position that we hold in Christ. Now, I know this may seem odd to us, but it's perfectly acceptable to God that a female can be a son in position. In verse 29, sons are declared to be heirs. That means we have access to the promises of God because only sons inherit promises. Now, Paul continues to teach about sonship in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. And I'd like to read that to you. And Paul says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son, the Holy Spirit, into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." You see, success as a Christian happens when you understand that your identity is to live by faith as a son. You're not defined by what you do. You're not defined by what other people say about you. The only thing that you're defined by is what God says of you, and God says that you're a son. Now, I'd like to share an illustration that I've used before and I've used many times because I think it clearly points out the importance of just simply accepting what God has said. And it's about a military man in the French army by the name of Private Chauvin. This would have been around the early 1800s. And Nicholas Chauvin, a private in Napoleon Bonaparte's army. So Private Chauvin was standing at attention while the King Napoleon was reviewing the troops, and he was riding on a white horse. For some reason, the horse became startled. Napoleon dropped the reins, and the horse ran out of control, with Napoleon still on the horse. Immediately, Private Chauvin ran after the king, grabbed the reins, calmed the horse down, and brought Napoleon to safety. And so Napoleon said, "What is your name, soldier?" To which Chauvin said, "My name is Private Chauvin." The king then said, "Thank you, Captain Chauvin." Did you hear that? "Thank you, Captain Chauvin." Immediately, Chauvin went to his quarters, took off his enlisted uniform, and replaced it with an officer's uniform, that of a captain. And his fellow soldiers began to ridicule him and challenge his right to wear the uniform of an officer. And listen to what Captain Chauvin said. "I have the right to wear this uniform because my king called me captain. Your king calls you son. Just receive that by faith. As a son, you inherit the promises of God. Now, I'm going to give you a series of scriptures, and I encourage you to quickly jot them down and study them, and to, just to strengthen your faith in your walk in the Lord. Number one, your Father is God. Matthew 5:16, Matthew 5:48, Matthew 6:1, Matthew 6:8, Mark 11:25, Luke 6:36. You have access to the throne room of God. John 14:6, Ephesians 2:18, and Ephesians 3:12. God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. Romans 8:9, Romans 8:11, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, Ephesians 5:18, 2 Timothy 1:14. Supernatural power and authority are available to you to fulfill God's ministry, mission, or assignment. Luke 10:19 through 20, John 16:7, Acts 1:8, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and 1 John 4:4. And finally, you are anointed for service. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now, if I went by a little bit too quickly, then I encourage you to download the notes. They're all available on my website, pastorvic.com. Jesus Christ purchased your position as a son. His death on the cross of Calvary opened the door into a new covenant, a covenant that describes our new relationship with God. You are loved. You are accepted. You are forgiven. I just encourage you to grab a hold of these truths and not just simply understand them in your mind, but to allow it to drop down into your heart and begin to walk by faith what God has said about you. You are a son, a daughter of the Most High. Look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you until then. Lord, just bless every listener. Just bless their situation. Just bless their health, bless their family. If they're in the ministry, bless their ministry. And Lord, help them to see how much you love them and what you have called them to be, a son, a co-heir of Jesus Christ. Again, thank you again for listening. God bless.